Episode 94.
It's typically earmarked at about 2 years, but under the Department of Labor guidelines, we have to be willing to extend that if needed, and we are. There's a six-month probationary period for any shop that has an apprentice to make sure they're a good fit. And so I then began to realize, okay, so how do we help these shops really find these people? And this is going to be kind of this is the heart of ASLA, where remember what I said when I started it, I know that this industry has a lot to offer these young people to be a part of our industry.
Welcome aftermarketers to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio and a special interview from an auto care industry professional. On Point. Welcome aftermarketers to episode 94. Carm Capriato here, along with Mike Davidson from ASLA. Now, this episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on site, and on demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. Our guest on this episode, Mike Davidson, was also on the face-to-face video podcast panel all about mentoring. Both episode 93 and 94 have a very strong connection to each other, so in order to get the full on of this episode, please plan on listening to episode 93, and that's the episode just before this one. If you are serious about building and growing your own technician talent and are looking for a how-to blueprint, you are in the right place. ASLA, the acronym for American Skilled Labor Association, is led by shop owner and entrepreneur Mike Davidson from Parkway Automotive in Little Rock, Arkansas. ASLA is a non-for-profit 501c3 corp and is going to be an important part of building an apprentice program for all auto care shop owners. So while listen, learn how the GI Bill can be utilized for this program, learn how a shop can get reimbursed for their apprentice program from the U.S. Department of Labor, and learn about the gift to the industry from Bob Cooper, Elite Worldwide, and Joe Marconi and others that brought the apprentice program to the industry. Get out your pen and paper or your digital voice recorder because you are in for a very powerful and interesting interview. Here we go. A big, remarkable results welcome again to Mike Davidson from Parkway Automotive, and he's going to talk today about ASLA. Because he's president of American Skilled Labor Association, and he's from Little Rock, Arkansas. Mike, are you ready to go on point?
Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready, Carm. Once again, you bet. Good to be here.
ASLA, the American Skilled Labor Association. Now, I've heard you talk about it. I'm so excited to hear, and that's why you're on. We got to share this with the world. So it's all yours, man.
Yeah, well, great. You know, as I just thought through how we might cover this, the first thing that I think is important to know is how in the world did it ever get started, and what's kind of what I would call the emotional drive of ASLA. ASLA was started really a long, long time ago without any kind of formal name because of what has happened to me in my journey and my path. And it had to do with growing up without a father, not having the opportunity to go to college. I went to 14 different schools, first through the ninth grade.
Oh,
a lot of moving around. And then I show up in this industry that I fell in love with at a really young age. And I saw and realized and have come to realize what the industry can actually, you know, do for someone who is a hard worker and is willing to learn and really is committed to the industry. So that's kind of the emotional drive behind ASLA. And when I look at the landscape of our country and the broken families and the kids that don't have dads, just like Mike Davidson didn't have a dad, and opportunities to go to college maybe are fewer for some, and then like what do I do? And so with no maybe opportunity to go to college and then no one to actually give them a path to run on, then you kind of go off on your own whim, and that's usually a bad way to go.
So this is coming right from your heart.
It really is. It has to do with a desire to really give hope to young people that there is opportunity out there and you can make a living in the automotive industry, and then to realize that there's actually a need in our industry for automotive technicians. It's like, okay, all right, so let me reel all this stuff into my brain and put it together. And so me and some other business owners are sitting around a table, and we were all talking about this and other things. And so we actually developed the American Skilled Labor Association. And, you know, to fast forward of 2 years of work, it's now a fully 501c3 nonprofit. We are recognized by the IRS as such, which is a good thing. If you want to be recognized by the IRS, that would be the way you'd want to be recognized, not right, any other way.
Okay.
And then there's we have a board of directors of business owners that are located here in Little Rock. We meet every other month, and we've written bylaws, we've written job descriptions, we've written a business plan. We have met with people that see the need of skilled labor in the United States. Senator Jane English here in Arkansas. Chris Massengill, he is the chairman for the Delta Regional Authority. I've met with Randy Zook. He's the head of the Chamber of Commerce for the state of Arkansas. I met with Governor Asa Hutchinson here in Arkansas. And all of these people who have seen the plan, sort of, you know, this is just an introductory time today, have all said that when it comes to skilled labor, ASLA is the missing link just by way of the plan.
So all of this is behind you, and are you in kickoff mode? Do you have any people going through the program yet?
Here's exactly where we are in the whole program. Just last Friday, this would be February the 4th, I received an email from the Department of Labor, and I've been working with them for just about a year and a half, where they're actually approving the apprentice program as a federally recognized apprentice program. So here's what that really means, and this is what drove me to go that direction with the program, is that there is money available through the feds down to the state Department of Workforce Services, and then to organizations like ASLA that will help businesses on the financial side of the high cost of training skilled labor. Because skilled labor is the target for the federal, for the Department of Labor. And for us in the industry, our skilled labor is, of course, the automotive technician. And so that's the direction. So when you look at the state of our industry, and everyone knows that we are trading technicians with each other, everybody has a shortage at some time because they happen to, you know, be the one that doesn't have that technician because he's working for someone else. So this huge shortage is coming about.
Right.
The average age of our technicians are in their mid to upper 40s. I mean, they're going to be on their way out in the next, you know, 10, 15 years, some of them sooner. And so we've got a real problem. And so we always look to tech schools and say, well, what have the tech schools done? What have they provided for us? And my discussion with shop owners from all over the country that I have direct, like, eyeball time with, will all say, not all, most will say that the tech schools have not been able to really produce what we're looking for, or when the student graduates, his expectations are some other place than the reality of what it really takes.
Got it. And that's typical for college or any kind of school.
I think you're right. And so as I thought through, you know, why is it the tech schools are not giving us what we want? I think part of it is there seems to be a pie in the sky mentality that occurred, you know, for a lot of jobs, as you said, Carm, that we're going to make, you know, $60,000-$70,000 as a technician when we walk out of tech school, which we know is not true.
Right.
The prerequisites for the students coming into the program, usually for a lot of tech schools, is just tuition is all that they need to be able to do. Just tuition and show up. That's the only prerequisite to be in their program, which is not really a good standards to have,
right?
If they can pay those. And then I think thirdly is we got to look at us, and that is shops being involved in the tech schools so that we could actually show them more about what we need. Now, I think some of that big ship is beginning to turn some, where more and more people in the aftermarket and the automotive industry are getting in touch with the tech schools and trying to get on the same page. But, you know, that's a big boat.
Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Mike, I know that just about every tech school has an advisory board of shop owners or industry people from their regions, and they should be steering that ship.
Yeah, they should be. And I actually serve on the board here at the Little Rock Pulaski Technical College here. And I can just, you know, what I can tell you from there is that it's gotten, don't know what it's like across the country, so I'm speaking very specifically here. It's okay. It's highly political, and nothing happens. The people they're hiring, they don't have enough money to hire people that are worth anything when it comes to teaching them, and it's just a really hard road for them. So all that to say that as I put all these things together and almost 20 years of owning my own shop and dealing with some of the same struggles of every shop owner, yeah. I said, well, it's time to do something. It's really time to put something together. So as me and the other folks began to think through American Skilled Labor Association and then start going through the process, I then reached out to the Department of Labor to see, well, what's going to be required and how do we gain access to those funds that are just sitting there waiting for someone to use? So there was a lot of conversation going on during that time and discovered that there's a lot to do to make that happen. Well, I was committed to make it happen. I spent the next, you know, year going through all the processes and procedures and checkpoints that were required to get an actual apprentice program approved by the federal government. A big help for that program was, we'll call it the heart or the content of the apprentice program for automotive technicians, was written by Bob Cooper, Joe Marconi, and Jim Pirano and myself.
Well, so, those are some pretty big names in the industry.
Yeah,
they are. I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and so, you know, this was all the apprentice program guide itself was all a spearhead of Bob Cooper. Bob Cooper was kind enough to donate that to the American Skilled Labor Association. So that part of the program that's necessary for the federal government to see what are the steps that are going to be taken, they helped me get that done. I want to give Bob Cooper the credit for sure because he spearheaded it. And then when I saw what we had done together, I said, Bob, this is what we need in ASLA to go around everything else the feds are requiring. Can I have it? And Bob says, yes. It's his gift to the industry.
Wow.
And boy, what a gift. And so there's these very specific steps that says for the mentor. And so what I did is I took this apprentice program guide where it teaches the shop owner what his processes are. But then it also breaks it down to the actual technician, we'll call him the mentor, what the mentor is to do. And we gave him deadline dates. And so when we're all done with everything, the entire plan, top to bottom, is both a competency-based program, but it's also a time-based program. So it doesn't go on for infinity. It's typically earmarked at about 2 years, but under the Department of Labor guidelines, we have to be willing to extend that if needed, and we are. There's a six-month probationary period for any shop that has an apprentice to make sure they're a good fit. And so I then began to realize, okay, so how do we help these shops really find these people? And this is going to be kind of this is the heart of ASLA where, remember what I said when I started it, I know that this industry has a lot to offer these young people to be a part of our industry.
Sure do.
And so, yeah, we got tons to offer. So it's from there I said, okay, so let's put the program together where we can go out to the junior high and high schools and we can literally go to those and let them know about the opportunity. And then let's figure out a way to vet these guys to determine who's a best fit? It's what I call the triple G's. Who has the God-given gift to be an automotive technician? Mm. There's got to be a way we can determine that. Well, BERC testing is a way that that can happen, and that's one way. There's also an interview process that I developed through some training called Hiring for Keeps to help me determine, is this the right person for this culture? And so I put all these things together, Carm, and I'm saying, okay, we've got the package. We've got what we need to find the right people. We've got what we need to find the shops that are willing to identify a mentor, which is the shop's first step. Mm-hmm. Identify a mentor.
Sure.
And let's put these guys together. And if we do the clocking correct time, the clocking in and out correctly, where we're just managing the apprentice's time of training, both related training and on-the-job training, then that money, that time is reimbursable to the shops under the Department of Labor guidelines.
Got it. So you're saying clocking. I mean, there's a system designed in this in order to get the money that helps fund the program. This isn't just come on board, we'll check the boxes in 2 years and bingo.
Right. There's a monthly that we do require. So if we talk about the shops, first thing, identify a mentor.
Yeah.
Then we begin to walk through and help them understand what's required of that mentor in mm-hmm. regards to teaching and instruction. And then there's a monthly report card that needs to be turned in.
And that is turned into who?
It's turned into ASLA.
Okay.
It's being done electronically. And then it's through those monthly reports that the money will be refunded back to the shop for that training. And right now, I mean, this is a cursory number, so it's just an overview number because I think there's still some nuts and bolts to turn here to get it all exactly right. But it's going to be somewhere around $10,000 to $15,000 a year given back to the shop because there is a tuition involved for the student to come into the program. So what's great about being approved by the Department of Labor is that the money can come from the GI Bill for the student to come into the program. So think about it. He's going to get a job. He used the GI Bill for the tuition, and a portion of that tuition is being used to pay the shop back for the training that he's receiving.
Mike, it looks like you've thought of everything.
Well, I don't think I have. I think there's the board of directors, as we talk, and also getting input. I've gotten input from Tony. I don't say his last name real well. Is it Milano with ASA?
Tony Mala, yeah.
Yeah, Tony Mala from ASA, and then also from some folks at NAPA, John Hill, some others that have given me feedback from the pro service guys within the Elite Pro Service Group.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten a lot. So, yes, I have given a lot of thought, but I have also gotten a lot of input as we continue to refine it.
Let me help clarify my mind and maybe our listeners' mind. We're saying to any potential student who, or not student, but an apprentice who wants to go through the program, you come out of either a you come out of the service, or you come out of high school, and you joined this program. So, are you saying that this would circumvent going to a tech school?
You know, it appears that it will. Now, that doesn't exclude those who would go to a tech school, and it's, you know, it's possible that we develop a way for them to come in at a different level depending on their level of knowledge. But we're also talking about the guy who has a GED or has finished his high school, and those parents are saying, you know what, I can either spend this money and send them to a two-year technical school and hope they get a job, or I can spend this money for tuition into ASLA, which because of a nonprofit is tax deductible, and my son gets a job right now, and he has 2 years of on-the-job training when he's done. So the advantages of that, it's been difficult for me because I didn't build ASLA to be a competitor of the tech schools, but the bottom line is that they're not producing what we need them to produce. Whoever's fault we might think that might be, they're not doing it.
So Mike, this looks like an alternative to going to vocational school.
Yeah, it is developing that way, although originally not intended.
Mike, have you put anybody through this yet?
Yes, we can't officially do that until we get approval from the Department of Labor, and so we should just be days away from that actually happening. But I currently have a mentor and an apprentice at Parkway Automotive going through the program. We're meeting once a month. We're going through the list and identifying those things that he has demonstrated to the mentor that he has competency at. His parents were so excited about the program that they were ready to write me a check for tuition. But I told them, I said, not this one. I said, your son's going to help me get this right.
Right, right.
Your son's going to help me work out the bugs for the program. And so that was sort of their tuition, so to speak, as we worked through that. And so, you know, I can say right now, so far, so good. I mean, the kid scored on just a competency test for automotive technician. We're talking about a kid out of high school. He just finished high school. He scored a 95 out of 100 on a competency test for his ability to be an automotive technician. So I know he has those triple G's that I mentioned earlier, that God-given gift to be an automotive technician. So we've identified him, we've identified our mentor, and now it's just plugging him, these two guys together and giving them tracks to run on. And that's what ASLA is doing. We're providing tracks for a mentor and an apprentice to run on with very, very clear, specific instructions and deadline dates.
Got it.
ASE testing is a part of the program, is part of the plan, but we're not requiring that they pass the ASE test, because we really believe that in today's world, no one can become a master technician in 2 years. But there should be attempts along the way to pass the ASE test. And they'll pass some, and there's some that they won't. But they'll learn more about the testing and the process through the program. You know, that kind of gives you ASLA as a whole and sort of the nuts and bolts of it. But I want to bring it down to, let's talk about the personal level where, and we can go back to where we started the whole conversation about fatherless homes, no direction, relationships not being there between a father and a son. Let's talk about America and the culture that we are currently living in. ASLA is not the answer, but it is an answer to bringing the old together with the young. And I think that we don't have to talk very long to understand the advantages of that guy who's in his 40s and 50s, and he knows his body's breaking down, that he's able to now take his life, the things he's learned, the knowledge he has, and give back to not just the industry, but to a person.
Mike, I think there's a lot of guys out there that want to give back.
I know there is. And now we're going to give them that opportunity to do so. And then these young guys have someone to look up to. And you've just developed a relationship for that young person that they otherwise would have never had.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers, and there, you get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. And if these great training programs aren't enough, you've got the Guru's On Demand app for quick, accurate assistance and information. And when the phone is just perfect, there's the ASE-certified bilingual Guru's On Call there to help. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards loyalty program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brand. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. Head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. I think mentoring is going to be one of the biggest wisdom transfer units of strategy ever in America. As you say, the boomers are aging. And someone's got to pick up the slack.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily want to go into too many details here, but where does the tuition go?
One half of the tuition is a part of the money that goes back to the shop. The other half of the tuition is used to support the association, because there are six common pitfalls and what we'll also call best practices of an organization like ASLA.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to hit them, and you know, we can go as deep as you want, but here's the six.
Right.
Inadequate personnel or resources to run the mentoring program. Pitfall number one,
mm-hmm.
We've got to have personnel. A program manager has no commitment, passion, or vision. Now, I think I've got those covered.
Yeah, you do.
I've got number two covered.
Yes, you do.
Number three, the mission and goals are not integrated into all parts of the program. Well, our website, skilledlaborus.com, we have right there on there what our mission statement is. We have written the goals of the company, and we're in the mission for the organization. Number four, lack of partnering and our networking within the community. I talked about going to the schools and the junior high schools and the high schools, and yes, even the technical colleges and letting them know, but also the Veterans Administration, the veterans. We want to get veterans to work. People that are leaving the armed services and have the GI Bill available, for example, to be able to come into our industry. The United States services, armed services, are training young people to work on Jeeps and tanks and airplanes and ships. And I mean, these are people with the triple G's that we need.
Yep.
And so we just want to give them that pass, so when they step out of that service, that they can step into the civilian world and actually make money and make and have a job and do it in a very short order. And so that's available. Number five, program staff has superficial contact with these mentors. Okay, so we've got to work on that. That's an area that we've got to make sure that we stay in close contact with these mentors. Now, we're going to have monthly reports, and the shop owners themselves play a role in monitoring this. But there's probably some things that we could do for number five. And number six, this is a pitfall. Nothing is special or unique about the program. Well, personally think we've got that one. So number one, the number one thing is inadequate personnel or resources to run the program. We've got to have funding. Carm, we've got to get the industry involved, whether it be individual shops that give, you know, $15, $20, $30 a month, or it's people like NAPA or the Bumper to Bumper or, you know, whoever it is that can get behind us and support the organization. So I actually have job descriptions written for five people to run the association, but I don't need to hire five. I need to hire two
right
now. I need to hire one that does what I have given them direction to do and the job description to follow to be that contact person out into the marketplace for the shops and the schools. And then I need an administrator. So just those two things.
Excellent. You've got this so well thought out. And, you know, we're into this whole world of crazy politics right now, and they talk a lot about ground games. And so my question is where's the grassroots get it done, involve association members, shop owners throughout the country? What if someone was listening right now and says, I want to get involved? Can they go to the website and contact you, or do you have a moment that says, listen, we need 30 more days to get this going?
Yeah. You know, the website is up. There's a place on there for you to actually make contributions now.
Okay.
And so you can do that. All my contact information is on the site as well. So you can send me an email or call me on my cell. They're all on there. And so that's what we've got to do to get it started. We've got to get funding to support personnel in the association so we can get busy. Part of the process is reaching out to the Department of Labor of Workforce Services in each particular state, because that's where the money goes from the feds, is to them, and so that we can show them the program, get it accepted by them. And once the program's accepted at the federal level, the state level's a walk in the park. Okay, so that's why I've spent all my time and resources getting approved at the federal level, not the state level.
Okay, Mike, so you need someone in every state to be the point of the plow.
Yeah.
Got
that's
it.
Right.
And once they get this, and will you help them get that state approval?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the truth is with the federal approval, it's basically showing them that stamp of approval, and then it's just a matter of getting the shops willing to take on, to identify a mentor and take on an apprentice.
So government's complicated, lots of paperwork and forms. Aren't they going to, I'm in New York State, I go to New York State, aren't they going to give me a bunch of stuff that I got to complete?
No, it's all done through ASLA, and that's what's the beauty of this. The reason that the money's still sitting there, because all of the things that the shops would have to do to get can gain access to that money, ASLA's already done.
I see, and that's why you need a team behind you to help you get all this stuff done, because, you know, one state at a time, it's going to take some time to get that done.
Yeah, it is.
And how about it? In Arkansas, where you're from, you've got it approved in Arkansas?
Well, again, we're waiting on that letter from the feds.
Okay.
Any day, and I'll tell you, it's been reformatted like 3 times, and it's gone back, and it's sitting on the desk in Dallas, Texas right now at the federal building for their final approval. And once that's done, I've already had conversations at the Department of Workforce Services. What's really cool, you want to see, here's something that's really, really neat.
Mm-hmm.
The guy at the state level in Arkansas, he has a son who just went through the automotive program at Pulaski Tech, and when he heard about ASLA, he wants his son to be a part of ASLA. He wants his son in this program to learn automotive, how to be an automotive technician.
In a live environment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed. I really am. You have had to put in 20, 30 hours a week into this.
I've got a little time invested in it. Yeah, sure do.
I bet you do. Very passionate about it. I know you were out on the West Coast maybe 2 weeks ago. Did you bring the program out to your group?
Well, in fact, I was asked to bring it to the group, but I chose at that moment, I said the most important thing that we could do for those 90 shop owners sitting in that room, this was me talking to Bob Cooper, and said, Bob, we need to make sure they learn how to identify a mentor, because the program of ASLA will not be successful if we don't first help shops identify a mentor. So on my website, you will find a tab, just the simple guidelines to first identify a mentor. And then you'll also find the apprentice program guide, and pretty much in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find the some of the forms and things that we'll fill out and basically for the shop to agree to follow the apprentice program guide. But you'll find those on the site, so you could actually read more and what's involved. But step one for a shop, identify a mentor. That's what you need to be doing right now. And the ways you do that are really cool. You just take your team out to lunch, for example, or take them out to dinner after work and say, hey guys, look at this apprentice program guide. Tell me what you think about it. And what will happen is through that conversation, you're going to find which one of your current teammates would be the best mentor for your shop. So begin having the conversation with those guys and gals to determine who might be the best fit for your mentorship.
Wow. You were on an episode of ours, a video face-to-face podcast episode, you know, which we haven't released yet, on mentoring. And you were extremely passionate, and you talked about this. To have that apprentice guide and the mentoring program on your site, you're right. Our professional shop owners right now can get on there, check this out, provide you feedback, and gain some insight from their people. Great stuff, Mike. Well, you know, we've got to keep our ear to the ground with this. You've got to give me some updates when each state starts getting, and you know, there's an approval in every state, so we can help you with this. And I think you're doing one heck of a service to the industry.
Well, you know, Carm, the truth is it's done one heck of a service to me personally, and it's just my opportunity to finish well. That's what I want to do. I want to finish well.
Finish strong, huh? Finish strong.
Yes, sir.
Mike, thanks a mil. Let's stay in touch. You've become a great friend of the podcast, and we appreciate that. And with all this work that you're doing, all I can tell everyone is stay tuned.
Right on.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Carm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.